Luke 23 and verse 13, we find the first saying of our Savior from the cross. But for context and for the event that led to that, we're going to read here at Luke 23, verse 13. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, Ye have brought this man unto me, as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him. And lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him, for of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder, was cast into prison. Pilate therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, Why, what evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him, and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired. But he delivered Jesus to their will. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they led the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand, and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them, derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale, British Columbia, the Free Presbyterian Church of Canada. We're thankful that we have this opportunity to bring the message of the gospel to you, whether you're here in Vancouver or listening to various stations across Canada. We're thankful for these opportunities to minister to you, especially here at this Easter season. I always take great delight in preaching the cross And of course, that's my goal in every sermon. That's my goal in every radio program, to lead you to comprehend the wonder, the mystery of godliness. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. And of course, it takes gospel faith to understand the work of our Savior on the cross. The world sees it as an emblem of shame and suffering, of merely defeat, but to the believer, it is the wisdom of God, it is the power of God. And I hope that today, that as you listen in and that you hear this cry of the Savior, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, that you will begin to comprehend the mystery of God hearing the cry of the Lord Jesus upon that cross and working mercy to the deepest sinners in the world, even Jerusalem sinners and the Roman soldiers and those who mocked. Yet in it all, the love of God came through. What a wonder and a mystery. May God minister to your heart right now. Now, this almost sounds like impossible. They must have known. They must have known. What state of mind were these people in when they cried out against the Savior? They knew his name. They knew his claims. They knew his family. They knew his miracles. They knew his parables. They knew his holy standards. And yet there was a blindness, a stark, raving, benighted darkness that made these men seemingly drunk with rejecting and hating the Son of God. And the Lord Jesus prayed over that as well. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This must cause a great terror even in our hearts. What if there are sins that we're not even aware of? What if there are things, thoughts, intents in our hearts that we are totally blind to? We don't even see them. We don't even understand the depths of what we're doing. In the Old Testament, there was a special provision in the Levitical sacrifices for the sins of ignorance. And there was a special arrangement where a sacrifice would be offered, a lamb or an animal would die, the blood would be shed, with special focus on the sins of ignorance. And what a fearful thing that we could be committing sins of ignorance that need forgiveness. This is a reality. And you might think there's no sin in my heart. You might think I've never done wrong. I don't hate the Son of God. What if there is sin that you do not even know about? And you need to be forgiven. Well, the Lord Jesus will pray for you. The Lord Jesus prays against the sins of omission, the sins of commission, and the sins of ignorance. And the blood of Jesus washes us from all these sins. And so if we are in Christ, we're covered. We are safe in the Lord. We are delivered from those sins that we've confessed, sins that we're conscious of, but also any sin that we don't even know about. Under the blood, pardoned by the prayer of Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is a great salvation. This is a total salvation. And so we rejoice in it. Now, we've had here the need for forgiveness. But also in the cry of the Lord, Father, forgive them, there is the sufficiency of Jesus' atonement. On what basis could the Lord make that prayer? Could he just arbitrarily forgive them? Just just forget about it. Did Jesus ask the Father just to wipe the slate clean with no payment, no retribution? No. The Lord was praying on the basis of his own death. And there, while he was suffering and enduring the weight of sin upon him, this word came forth, Father, forgive. And this word forgive is the all-inclusive miracle of removing sin for all time. One death, one sacrifice, but the removal of sin for all time and eternity. Now, in this word forgive in the Greek language, it means to send or put away. And I quoted already the statement that as far as the east is from the west, so far hath God removed our sins from us. That's what's in this word forgive. It's not like when you do something nasty and you go to someone and say, now, will you forgive me? And they say back to you, yes, I'll forgive you, but I'll not forget it. Well, that's not God's forgiveness. God's forgiveness is that it's under the blood. It's paid for. It's dealt with. It's over. We will never see or be condemned by that sin again. Sin under the blood, forgiven by Jesus, can never return. They can never boomerang back to us again. Because in the death of Christ, there is the payment of sins of the past, the present, and the future. Now, some debate that, and they say that cannot be. Well, it has to be if the Lord is going to save us. Because if you are saved from the past sins, they're gone forever, and then you're saved from present sins, they're gone, but you're not saved from future sins. Well, just take one step into the future, one click of the clock, and you're into the future, and your future sins, if they're not forgiven, you're now condemned, and you keep moving and keep moving, and you are into the future of condemnation. What kind of salvation is that? But this prayer of the Lord Jesus, where the Lord used this word forgive, it means, Lord, forgive for all time, so that sin and its condemnation will never come back again. Now, the Lord Jesus made atonement, and this is a whole great field of the work of Christ on that cross. This was the purpose of his suffering and his blood shedding. And the New Testament, if you read the New Testament, you'll find that there is a whole world of doctrine that is built on it. And when Peter wrote to Christians in 1 Peter 1, he said that we are redeemed not by silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus, as a lamb without spot or without blemish. There is power in that blood of the Lord Jesus. It is so powerful that it brings the condemned, guilty soul into a state of blessing. Now, that's putting it in very general terms. I could be more specific. I could say we're translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. I could say that we come from the courtroom where we stand condemned to the judge lowering the gavel, pronouncing justified, just as if we had never sinned. But if you turn with me to Romans chapter 4, and I want to do this because it's important that you see this for yourself here in God's Word. Romans chapter 4 and verse 6. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Now, I want you to notice the word blessing, the blessedness of the man. So you're brought out of a state of uncleanness, guiltiness, into blessing. From being the enemy of God to being the favored of God. The blessedness of the man. Can you note that? Do you want to be that blessed man or woman, boy or girl? This is what the death of Christ accomplishes. Then verse 7, saying, blessed are they whose sins are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. So if you don't know any other doctrine or any other theology, take this to heart. That what Christ prayed for on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, it brings people out of condemnation to a place of blessing. And that's what the Lord Jesus will do for you, if you will come and put your complete trust in him. This is the fruit of his atonement. It would be right to say that the Lord Jesus was asking the Father to justify these sinners from the horror of their sin. He could not make such a request if his atonement had not purchased it. Do you get the message today? Do you understand that Jesus could not just arbitrarily make that prayer if he didn't make the payment and shed his blood for us? That's the power in that very statement. And so we are brought into a state of blessing. Now, one more thought here, and that is the Lord's loving heart. The Lord's loving heart praying for men's forgiveness. Cruel men could take the Savior's body and nail it to the tree. They could draw off his blood. They could slander his person. But only divine love could touch his heart. And that love still flowed. And even with all that men cried out and their blasphemy and their torment of the Savior, his love was unfailing. This was a necessary act to save sinners. He would be numbered with the transgressors, but also pray for them. You see, in Christ's redeeming work, there's two parts. There's his suffering, and there is his supplication. There is his dying, and there is his asking. And so he pays for their sins, and then he asks the Father to bless and to work in great power and grace. And just as the high priest of the Old Testament took the blood of the sacrifice, went right into the presence of God and pleaded for the sinner represented, our Lord Jesus is doing that today. His love. Can you fathom the depths, the wonder, the wideness, the height of the love of the Lord Jesus? And all of this while he was at the peak of his agony. Now I say at the peak of his agony because if this was the first of his sayings, it was the earliest that we know of his utterances on the cross, when he would have been physically stronger. And so at the peak of his agony and suffering, the Lord Jesus, his love was unfailing. What kind of love is this? It's not just natural. It's not unnatural, but it's supernatural. Does anyone doubt the love of the Lord Jesus for sinful men? Do you need any further proof, any evidence of the amazing, wonderful, special love in the heart of God's Son for your soul and your salvation? Just listen to the tone of the words. Father, forgive them. These are sweet words. These are precious, endearing words. There's no bitterness, there's no rancor, there's no animosity, there's no hidden hatred here. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is like the cry of a mother watching her own child do wrong and pleading with her husband and the father of the child, forgive him. It's the intervention of a loving Savior. Father, forgive them. And you might be asking, can you be saved? Well, there is enough here in this one word from the cross to save your soul. And it's publicized, it's advertised, it's made known, it's no secret thing. We're to go into all the world and preach this gospel to every creature, to everyone who will hear, that they will be saved. And it's because of this word from the cross that we come to our communion table here today. It's because the Father has answered Jesus' prayer, forgive them, that you and I can take the cup and the bread in our hands and say, thank you, Father, for pardoning, saving my soul. And this now becomes the sweetness of fellowship that we have with God. This table is to us, well, we come to it as beggars to a feast. Can you picture that? There's a story in the Old Testament of beggars that were, well, they were lepers, and they were outside the city during a time of famine and besiege of the city. And the enemy dispersed, and they ran into the tents, hungry beggars, just lapping up all the good things that were left for them. And we are invited today to this communion table as believers in the Lord Jesus, as beggars at a feast, to take all that was purchased, all the love that was displayed, and rest in it, rejoice in it. Take this cup and bread, this do in remembrance of me. And remember his words that he uttered on the cross. Father, forgive them. Don't forget that. We're forgiven. And the Father has heard us, has heard his Son, and brought us into blessing. That's the focus that we have here. And so as pardoned sinners, we come taking this cup of thanks. Will you open your heart today to the rays of the Savior's love? Just as the flower opens up to the warmth of the sunshine, will you open your heart today to the Savior's love toward you? Will you trust in him? Call on him? Or will you say, away with him, crucify him? Don't be a Christ rejecter, but believe and be saved today. Enjoying the blessing. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
They may scale the highest mountain and descend the deepest sea, but no one could ever measure God's great love at Calvary. Love of Christ so pure and tender, love so merciful and free, far beyond all comprehension, the love of Christ for me.
Thank you for tuning in, joining with us here on the program today. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher, and I hope that you have heard and come to comprehend the majesty, the wonder of God crucifying his own Son, Jesus offering up his own life,
pleading mercy for sinners. That's the wonder of Calvary. It is the place of mercy. And you have heard today the plea of mercy. And that's the wonder. I trust that today that you will comprehend the wonder of God's so great salvation to your soul. Will you today bow the knee and call upon the Lord Jesus to be your Savior, to be your Redeemer? Don't put it off. Don't resist the striving of the Spirit of God that has opened your heart just enough to know that Jesus loved you so much to give himself to suffering on that cross, and then pray for mercy. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That would be a wonderful, and is a wonder. And so will you come and confess your sins? I have given yesterday this text, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the statement here right in the Bible, 1 John 1:9. And it's a promise, it is a plan, it is the path that you must take to confess your sins, your own sins, not somebody else's, not the man down the street, not some profligate that you could quote as a terrible person, but your own sins, the sins that you've committed, and even the sins of rejection of the Savior. And the promise is that the Lord is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I plead with you that in these times you give your heart to the Savior, call upon him to wash away your sins. Every sin has to go beneath the cleansing flow. And I plead with you to give your heart to the Savior today. If I can be of personal help, I'm here for you. Give me a call. Send me an email. All the details of our information is coming up now in these closing announcements.
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S 1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.